Hey, good morning. It's Amy Scott Grant, your favorite spiritual ass kicker. Welcome to day two of our 45-day shindig. Yeehaw! Pew, 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 pew. All right, so today is Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. Let's keep talking about boundaries, right? Oh my God, there's so much I could talk about. But boundaries really feels like a topic that we're going to revisit from time to time, right? So we talked yesterday, hopefully dispelling some myths that you were holding about boundaries. And today let's talk specifics. And this one will be kind of short too. I think I noticed yesterday's recording, I finished right at 11 minutes and 11 seconds, which is kind of cool. But I think for the most part, they'll probably be, that was a lot to tell you about the trip. So that one kind of doesn't count. It's like a bonus one. That's why I called it like day zero, right? That was like 30 minutes. But I think for the most part, these are going to run like 10 to 12-ish minutes. Okay, boundaries. So what does that look like on a normal day-to-day basis? Okay, I bet it doesn't look like what you think. I'm going to throw out a couple of scenarios and tell you, give you some examples of how you could set boundaries there. The first one that comes to mind is something at work. Let's say that you have a boss or a coworker who is constantly getting you to do stuff that isn't necessarily outside the scope of your job description, but it's definitely not what you were hired to do. And it's pretty clear that you're being asked to do it because they don't want to do it, right? So let's call this getting dumped on at work, right? Or being taken advantage of or being the doormat at work. Here's how this might play out, okay? So your boss says, hey, I'm thinking of that movie Office Space. Hey, yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday. But like, really, whatever it is, like, hey, I need you to do the reports. I remember those reports in that movie. That movie's hilarious, by the way. But I think it's from the 80s or something, but it was really funny. Yeah, let's say, you know, your boss says, I'm going to need you to do this XYZ report. Ugh, everyone hates doing the report. Why do you get stuck doing it? Why doesn't anyone else do it? Why can't you take turns? But yet you always say yes, right? Because you struggle with boundaries. So normally you'd say, sure, no problem. Or you might even be a tiny bit passive aggressive and be like, yeah, I guess I can do it along with all this other stuff I have to do today. What in your mind, a boundary might look like this. No. Take your damn report and shove it. I'm not doing it. Somebody else needs to. Right? You might even fantasize about saying stuff like that, knowing full well that you would never, ever, ever do it, right? It's not even just because you're worried about getting in trouble or getting fired. It's probably just not who you are, right? It's not who I am. I could tell you that. I set boundaries very calmly. For the most part, I'm human. You know, sometimes I get agitated, but yeah, I would never say something like that. Like, you know, hey, can you? No, screw you. Get the hell away from me. No, I wouldn't do that. Right. You wouldn't either because we're civilized people. We're rational people. Right. But that's kind of in our head. If you're not setting boundaries, that's sort of what you think is like that's it's roll over and say, OK, or be a total mega bitch. Right? And possibly get written up or get fired. So here's what this might actually look like. Hey, I'm going to need you to go ahead and do that XYZ report. Okay. Your response could be, ooh, I mean, I could, but you asked me to work on ABC and that's really going to take me. I mean, that's probably going to be like at least tomorrow or the next day before I finish that. Right? I mean, is that true? I'm not advising you to say anything that's not true because that creates a whole different energy if you lie or stretch the truth or whatever. But like, tell the truth, but in a way that helps your situation, right? So yeah, if you're already working on something else, or here's one of my favorites that I advise people to use with a really demanding boss, because odds are that boss is giving you something else to work on. Probably today before they even ask for that report, right? So, hey, I'm going to need you to do that XYZ report. Okay, did you want me to stop working on the ABC and do the XYZ instead? Okay, and you can ask that without even an ounce of irony, because what you're doing is clarifying the priorities. And either way, you're going to cause yourself less stress, because either the boss says, yeah, actually the XYZ has to be done today, I don't need the ABC till Monday. Right. So you've either just bought yourself. Yeah, you may still have to do a report you don't want to do. Who doesn't have to do stuff like that at work? Right. But you just bought yourself like a bunch of extra days on the thing that you were working on. Like, so you should no longer feel like, oh, crap, now I got to finish ABC and XYZ today. OK, here's another really simple way to put it, is you can simply buy yourself more time. Right. If it's something that you know you're going to have to do, but you just don't like being interrupted, or you don't want to feel the pressure like you have to get it all done today. Hey, I'm going to need you to do that XYZ report today. Ooh, today is going to be tough. If you'd like, I can go through with you all the other stuff I'm working on, but I really think it's going to be more like insert day name 2 days from now or whatever. And then, you know, but again, don't be passive aggressive, hoping they'll say, oh, it's going to take that long. Never mind. I'll ask so-and-so to do it. Just be upfront, be honest, tell the truth. Don't be passive aggressive, but you can do it in a calm, simple way, right? Just like I did, I told you, like I had the person like, you need to call me today. And in my head, I'm like, no, I do not. But what I wrote back was, hey, thanks for your message. I just got back in town, catching up emails. Here's where you can get more information about, since she was like agitated about figuring out the pendulum. Here's where you can get more information about the pendulum, right? You can go here, free. You can go here, inexpensive. You can go here, pay me for my time. Thanks. Have a great day. Right? Certainly this person can't feel like I didn't help them. I just gave them three resources, one of which cost them nothing. Right? So if you run a business, that's what you want to do, right? You want to keep your boundaries. You know, my clients do not have my cell phone number at all. I have a landline. I have an office number. That is what I call from. If they call me, there's voicemail on that number. I typically do not pick up that phone unless I'm expecting a call. And I make the outgoing calls, right? So if I have, because I'll frequently book clients back to back, which is another way that I help myself keep boundaries. Because when I first started doing this, a 1 hour session would spiral into 90 minutes. Right. And if you're a light worker, I know you've had this experience. Again, it's a boundary issue. Someone paid you for 1 hour, yet they have problems and we're making progress and I want to help them and they have more questions. That's fine. They can have all the questions they want, but the session ends in an hour. And when I first started out, what I quickly realized is the only way that I could stick to an hour was if I booked back-to-back sessions. Again, I'm not necessarily recommending you do that, because not everybody can go 3 or 4 hours without standing up or peeing or like whatever you need to do, right? But I'm like kind of a machine on client days, right? But for me, you know, and if you need 5 minutes between sessions, well, then maybe your sessions last 55 minutes and your next session is booked at the top of the hour, which, let's be honest, probably won't work because you'll just forego the bathroom break, run over time, and be late to your next appointment. But see, in my head, I'm like, well, I can't be late to my next appointment because then I'm jipping them out of part of their hour and they paid for an hour. So I always kept that like super firm, right? Now, mojo sessions are a different thing, right? When I do a mojo session, because at the end of the mojo portion comes the question, would you like my help with that? And if they say yes, then it shifts into a moving forward discussion about, you know, here's what it costs, here's how to sign up, you know, and addressing any questions or objections they have at that point. So that can certainly go longer, but you know, you take however long it takes to close the client, right? And then the sessions, you really, like, I'm really clear in all of like my website, my conversations, whatever, the sessions last up to 1 hour. I'm really clear about that, right? So no one should be expecting 75 minutes when it's a 1 hour session. And I'm extremely focused and keep us on track in that hour, which I only learned to do by booking those back-to-back appointments. Now I'm at a point, like I've been doing this so long that I can, you know, have one appointment in the middle of the day. And I promise you, I'm going to finish in an hour because I'm already like, I've trained myself to do that. And to notice if we're getting off track, what time is it? You know, do we have time to kind of go down this tangent? No, we don't, because we need to do a clearing before we end, right? So it kind of, I'm able to pull it back in. And how might I say things like that, right? Because I know we all have clients that wait until 58 minutes into the session to go, I have a few questions. So let's talk about some examples on how to do that. Well, for starters, if I notice, let's say I notice it's 10 till and we haven't done a clearing yet, then I'll just say, hey, I hate to interrupt you, but I want to make sure we have time to do your clearing. And I notice we're almost out of time. So let's go ahead and shift into the clearing portion so we can get that completed. Nobody, it benefits them, right? So like nobody is going to be like, damn, bitch, why you interrupt me when I'm talking? No, they're going to be like, oh, great. Thank you. Yes, because that's why they bought the session, was to have a clearing, not to ramble on and on about how irritated they are about XYZ, right? So I tend to not let people kind of ramble in a session, but sometimes they need it. So I go with my gut again. And if it's early in the session, they can ramble for a few minutes. That's fine, because I'm going to make sure that when we get close to the, and maybe it takes you 20 minutes to do a clearing. So maybe at the halfway point is when you have to go, hey, I want to keep us on task here. So here's some ways you can say that. Okay, let me interrupt you because I want to make sure that we complete our intention for this session. Let me jump in and stop you. I totally hear what you're saying. Let's clear it. Let's shift into the healing part. Let's see what else. So we are halfway through the session and we're not quite halfway through our work here. So let's redirect our efforts and get back on track. I don't know. That sounds kind of corporate. It depends on what kind of call you're doing, right? But, you know, again, if it's a conference call, there's all kinds of phrases corporate people use, right? Okay, let's put a pin in that and focus on today's agenda. Let's circle back to that. Let me get us back on track. Earlier you were saying such and such, I'd like to revisit that conversation and let's come up with the resolution for it, right? So there's corporate ways to say things. Most of you guys know I have an MBA, so I live in both worlds, right? The business world and the spiritual world. You think they're separate worlds. They're really not. It's just like how you communicate in them is often a little bit different. So, so there's a ton of different ways that you can do that. And you know, you can even say, I hate to interrupt you, but I just noticed the time and I do have something right after this call. I want to make sure that we complete what we need to do for you before we're out of time. Again, never lie. If you are brand new and you just got your first client as a light worker, don't say, I have a client right after you. If it's not true, I wouldn't. You could do what you want, but it's just all cleaner if you don't lie. But maybe you promised yourself that, like, they don't need to know the details, okay? But look at it this way. Maybe you promised yourself you'd finish in an hour so that you can, I don't know, what do you have to do today? Brush your hair, wash your face, go to the market, take your dog to the vet. I have no idea. I'm sure there's stuff, do the dishes. I'm sure there's stuff that you have to do today. And if you promise yourself you were going to finish in an hour, that is a commitment worth keeping. So you don't have to say, I have a client right after you. I have something at 11. I have, you know, you don't have to say that. You can just say, I have something right after this. You do have something. I'm sure you have to stand up, walk around, go to the bathroom, get some coffee. You have something. They don't need to know what the something is. And it's not a lie. So don't lie. Don't say I'm back-to-back clients if this is your first client. Because all that energy shows through anyway. It's just gross. And it breeds mistrust and really doesn't help you develop a business either, right? But if you adopt the mindset that you are busy and that your time is valuable, it's much easier to set these kinds of boundaries. Now, I will tell you, I always take the leadership role in any communication with clients, right? So especially brand new clients who don't know me, because we teach people how to treat us. And so if I have a client that is squirrely from the get-go, I will push back and be like, you know what, when you're ready, here's the payment link, you know, and if I have time, I can see about getting you in or whatever, right? It doesn't matter if my schedule is wide open or not. That's not, you know, even if I have nothing on my schedule, that's not untrue to say, hey, you know, when you're ready, go ahead and make the payment. I'll look at my schedule and see if I have time available for you. All true. But it also says, hey, I'm not going to be dicked around while you, you know, hem and haw about whether or not this is really what you want to do. Because I don't ever want to talk anybody into working with me, right? Now, if they want to work with me and they're scared, I will help them overcome those fears, whether it's time or money or will it work or, you know, how much are we going to get cleared or like whatever concerns they may have. But I'm not convincing anyone that I'm the one to help them, because when you convince someone to sign up with you, this is kind of, it sounds off topic, but it actually is another form of boundaries. When you convince someone that they need to work with you, they will be your biggest pain in the ass client. Not through their any fault of their own, but because they really didn't want to be here to begin with. And you, quote, sold them on it. And so now you have to keep selling them because they immediately have buyer's remorse, are thinking that they made a huge mistake. Then I don't like that feeling because I feel like I'm behind the eight ball the whole time, right? I want to work with people that want to work with me. Yeah, they might be scared about how much it costs. They might be scared about how much time is it going to take. Is it going to be weird? You know, whatever. But that's fine because I know I can deliver the results and they'll be happy, right? But if I convince them to sign up, oh, it's going to be bad for both of us energetically. It's going to feel gross. And we're not going to get nearly as much accomplished as someone who wants to be here, right? Okay, let's do one more and then we'll wrap it up. So we might be 20 minutes on this one, but I think it's worth it. All right, let's do a pushy friend, right? Maybe you have a pushy friend who wants you to sign up for this class with her or always picks the place where you go to lunch or, you know, never pays for coffee. I don't know, whatever. Like pushy friend. I think everyone's had a pushy friend, okay? And who doesn't respect your boundaries. Like you say, you know, I'll be ready at 10. Please don't come early because I have to, blah, 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 whatever. I won't be ready. Don't come early. They come early anyway, right? Or whatever the case may be, the pushy friend, okay? Who you try to set a boundary, they don't respect it. They trample and ignore your boundaries, yet you don't want to not be friends with this person. You still want them in your life. It's just a little frustrating to deal with. This is harder because you like this person, you want them to like you, and you don't want any hurt feelings between you because you're friends, right? So, all right, the pushy friend. You ready for this? It's really simple. It's not easy, but it's really simple. With the pushy friend, you simply say no and give no explanation whatsoever. What? I can hear your mind blowing. What? Are you crying? No, no, you don't understand. She's so pushy. I have to tell her. No. Here's how this conversation goes. Hey, come with me to blah, blah, blah on Thursday. Oh, that sounds great, but I can't. I have to take my cat to the groomers. I have to go shopping with my mom, and I have to pick up the dry cleaning. I don't know. Clearly, I don't get out much, so I don't know what examples to use. Your friend goes, oh, that's okay. You come with me, and then I'll come with you to do all those things. You don't want her to come with you to do all those things. And you're like, well, no, that's not really going to work because like I'm going to be all rushed and I won't really be able to, you know, focus on our conversation. And she's like, oh, that's okay because blah, blah, blah. Okay, you get the drift, right? You understand where this is going. Here's why. Your friend is not just pushy. She won't take no for an answer. So she won't take no with an explanation for an answer. She has no choice but to take no for an answer. I know this seems counterintuitive, but I promise you, I've seen it work time and time and time again. I've had countless clients get back with me and go, holy crap, that worked. How did that work? How did you do that? I'm like, I didn't do it. You did. It's really simple. It's like you just have to flip a switch in your brain. So with people who won't take no for an answer, whether it's a pushy friend, your mother-in-law, a salesperson, whatever, if they won't take no for an answer, then if they seem that way, then every time you give them no because, They come up with a way to overcome your because that is what salespeople are trained to do. There's actually a word for it. There's an expression, overcoming objections. Every salesperson is taught how to do this. And when you are trained to sell a product or service, like if you're selling vacuum cleaners door to door, they already know, the business already knows what the most common objections are. And so they already give you ways to overcome those objections. Then they have you practice on new objections you never heard of. Like, well, my husband's allergic to dog dander, so I can't get a vacuum. You know, like whatever. Oh, no problem, because we have blah, blah, blah. Right? Haven't you ever noticed in infomercials, they pre-answer all of your objections? If you watch an infomercial and you're like, damn, that seems expensive. All of a sudden the announcer's like, but don't worry, because you could make 1,000 easy payments of $4 a month for, you know, and we'll throw, and you're like, well, okay, so now I can pay for it, right? So the pushy friend is the same way. Every excuse or rationalization or justification or because that you give her gives her more power, because she will overcome it. And then you're left with nothing, right? Like eventually you run out of excuses and she wins. Isn't this how you ended up doing crap with her you didn't want to do? Because she was that pushy. That's why she's your pushy friend. That's why you think of her that way. So by simply saying no, you transform the entire relationship. You guys have heard me talk about pattern shatter, right? When you have a pattern, when you do something different, it forces the other person to act differently, because they can't just, the neural pathways aren't well worn. Oh, I can't because, oh, that's okay, because, yeah, but what about the, oh, that's okay, because, right? That's the normal conversation you have with the pushy friend. Or sometimes you just give in. Hey, do you want to, yeah, I guess so, sure. Not really want to, but you already said yes. What would happen if she's like, hey, I want you to come with me to blah, 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 and you said, no, thanks, or no. I know it seems so foreign to you. You're like, no, what, Amy? What do I say next? How, I can't just say no. Yeah, you can. You can. No is enough. Remember when we were teens, hearing no means no? It's just no. It's not no because, no, unfortunately, oh, I wish I could, but I can't be. No, it's just no. It's the most beautiful word in the entire language. You know what? My friend, my dear friend, is French Canadian, and his family's French Canadian. And he said when he was learning English, when they came, when he was really little and they were learning English, like in school and everything, he said it blew his mind that the word no in English just means no. It just means no. And no is a complete sentence. He's like, it was the most amazing thing of my entire childhood to learn that. He said, because in French, it's all like, you know, let's go. No, let's, you know, they sort of throw no at the end of every sentence. And so it's like, I'm pretty, no, like whatever. It's always there. It's like constantly. It doesn't mean anything. It's kind of like a throwaway word, right? In English, no just means no. No, period. Complete sentence. In fact, when I'm trolling posts on whatever, Instagram, or before I got kicked off Twitter, people would post absolutely outrageous things. That's all I would reply was no, period. That's all I would put. Hey, we're going to... No. Hey, everybody, we need you to not eat meat this Thursday. No. No, that it's a complete sentence. It will feel super weird the first couple of times you do it. And here's how this might go. Hey, I want you to come with me. No. No? What do you mean no? Why not? Just no. Okay. Is it the time? Because, I mean, we could go a little later if that's too early for you. No. They are literally like, they don't know what to do with this. They're so ready to overcome objections, they'll try to bait you into saying an objection. Just stick to no. Now, if someone's trying to sell you something, it's no, it's just not a good fit for me. And if they say, really, what part? All of it. Because if you name one part, then they're going to sell you on three other parts that are better than that part. So again, no explanation, no rationalization, no justification. So hope to, like, really, like the anti-drug campaign, remember from the 80s? It wasn't kidding. Just say no. Just no. If you have to elaborate, it's just not a fit for me. All right. Hey, come with me to my, no. Are you sure? I really want you to come. No, it's just not a fit for me. I'm laughing because it's so simple. It's going to blow your mind how well it works. So I would love for you guys to try this today and then post a comment. Let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear about it. And if you don't want to, then just say no. All right. I'll see you guys tomorrow.